This is Book Public from Texas Public Radio. I'm Yvette Benavides. On this episode, I speak to Megha Majumdar about her latest novel, A Guardian and a Thief. In Megha Majumdar's novel, A Guardian and a Thief, we are in Kolkata in a near-future setting beset by extreme heat, floods, and famine. The character of Ma is preparing to leave this city behind with her 2-year-old daughter, Mishti, and her elderly father, Dadu. She's bound for Ann Arbor, Michigan, where her husband is a scientist. She has finally procured a visa from the consulate. Her bags are packed and she's ready. But one morning, she discovers her purse is missing, as are all the immigration documents she needs to travel to a future in the United States. Outside of Kolkata, Boomba and his own family are weathering the same catastrophic situation that Ma is. Their extreme situations prompt Boomba to do something desperate. Ma and Boomba's situations intertwine. Each commits acts in the name of survival that would seem out of character. Soon enough, it becomes more and more difficult to discern who exactly is the guardian and who is the thief. A Guardian and a Thief is the October 2025 Oprah Book Club pick. I spoke to Megha Majumdar about her novel and about Oprah. I'm so excited about this book, A Guardian and a Thief. And I wonder if you can just give us a little bit of table setting here and just tell us what it's about.
A Guardian and a Thief is a novel which is set in Kolkata, India, which is my hometown. The book is set in the near future in this city. And in this imagined future where there is extreme heat and a scarcity of food, we follow two families who are each seeking to protect their own children, and they come into conflict.
And this idea of the near future in a place that you know very well, but it's this sort of imagined period of time. But I'm wondering, why was it important for you to promote this message about what seems to be very clearly a kind of a climate crisis? Is it in the near future or is it here? And I'm wondering if that was sort of a motivation for you to create this kind of story.
That's a great question. I became interested in this situation because Kolkata is one of the cities in the world that is most profoundly affected by climate change. It has already grown hotter, and over the next few decades, Kolkata is predicted to endure more storms and flood more frequently. And reading about this reality, which is partially here and partially approaching, I grew very interested in this reality, not as something abstract or a collection of catastrophes or conditions, but as a texture of life, you know, a situation within which we will continue to love our families and hope for a better future for them and try to keep them safe and fed and dry. And that's how I entered this world.
You say something so interesting about still having our families, loving our families, trying to survive in this space. And that's something that's very important to underscore about this book. And also about Kolkata, like this idea of it as a space that's growing hotter each year, but also is still a place of beauty and a place where people raise their families, where people make their livings, where people make their lives. You know, here in Texas, we see this. We are in mid-October here, and we're still in the 90s for the temperature, for the high.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, and it's a kind of an unprecedented thing to be this late into October. Usually by now, we've had a little bit of a cool front. I keep thinking about how there is this idea of we are still living our lives. You know, we look at the forecast and we shake our heads and we just try to keep going. And we are trying to live our lives. We are trying to survive. there is this element in the novel where there are other complications. And I do want to talk about Ma and Mishti and Dadu and Boomba, but these characters, they are so richly drawn in this space, but there is so much happening to them that is beyond the idea just of, you know, sort of the ravages of climate change. There's so much else going on. But I wonder if you can talk about Ma and that family.
You know, a very interesting thing for me is to reflect on the writing of the book and recall that the central character when I started writing this book was actually a child of 10 or 11 years old. And I had this near future India. I had the moral questions that continue to be the concerns of this novel, but the plot was different. The characters were different. And then a couple years into trying to make that draft work, and it wasn't working, I had my older son. And I grew so interested in the perspective of that character's mother. So my perspective really shifted from being allied with this child to being more intrigued by the child's mother. And that's how the character of Ma came into being. I grew so interested in the ferocity of a mother's love. And I became very intrigued by how we might consider that something like love or hope for our children is noble and straightforward, but it's really not. It's incredibly complex. It can have manifestations which are vicious and sly and mean. It can have manifestations which serve ourselves, but not our neighbors, not our communities. And I grew interested in what that kind of love, a mother's love, a parent's love, can make somebody do in an extreme situation.
I just love that you've said this, because this character of Ma, I get so excited to think about her. And yes, it's a complicated thing. It's it is something about around the idea of survival. Of course, she is trying to get to the United States to be with, to join her husband. She has Mishti. She has Dadu to take care of. She has her job that she has to take care of. But you're right, there is such a complexity that in the name of love, in the name of survival, in the name of her family and taking care of them, her role as a mother, her role as a daughter, she does something, she does things that we don't necessarily think about, you know, in that way of a kind of a stereotype of the sweet mother. But this is reality. I mean, I have to say this, that the idea of how she has to think about surviving, how she has to plan. But then when these terrible things befall her, well, then other situations amp up in terms of the, things that rise up out of her that maybe were always there, but they are there perhaps still in the name of love, perhaps still in the name of survival and reaching her goals, doing the things that she has to do to survive. So I'm so glad that you said this, but it is interesting to me that to have a younger, to have maybe had a draft where there's a younger character, but then we have a character of the, of a mother. I think that's so brilliant.
Thank you. I really, it means a lot to me that it rang true to you and spoke to you.
It really did. And then the idea of Boomba, I wonder if you can talk about that character.
Yes. So Boomba is a young man from a village which is outside the big city. And he moves to the big city in order to correct a mistake that he has made. And he wants to bring his family over and find them a safe place to live. And the first introduction of this character might make it seem as if he is the thief of the title of the book, you know, a guardian and a thief, he's the thief. But I hope that as the book goes on, those ideas of who is a guardian and who is a thief become complicated. And I hope that this young man encourages a reader to ask, what would they do in his position?
Yes, and it is something that I think is somehow so resonant here today in the States around this idea of these documents that Ma needs to have, the visas, these passports for her very survival. There's such power in these documents, and it reminds me, in terms of talking about Boomba, the things that Boomba needs to do to survive and to help his family, and what sort of judgment would we cast on him because of his station in life versus somebody like Ma because of her very different station in life. And it really makes us ask these questions of who's right, who's wrong, who's more entitled to these opportunities to survive. And you do create a story in which we as readers have to, I don't know, really reckon with this idea and really think about it.
I appreciate the care and thoughtfulness with which you've read. I appreciate that so much because, this kind of conversation reminds me that all of these ideas that we plant in books and, the questions that we put in books about living a moral life, doing the right thing, all of these really only bloom in a reader's mind. So thank you for that.
Oh, no, you're so welcome. I was watching an interview with a war veteran, a World War II veteran. It was a Tom Brokaw Greatest Generation documentary. And this man, they asked him what was his secret to his success because he came through the war and established himself, went to school and had a business and raised a family. And he said his prime motivator his entire life was hunger, was the idea of hunger. And I thought about that while I was reading your novel because the idea of food, and we see this in other classic works of literature and in other literature. I mean, everywhere from classic to dystopian, there can be this idea of food as a kind of a almost a currency. And so there is that too in this book. And then I start to think about here in San Antonio just yesterday, the Meals on Wheels, this food service where these people, this nonprofit where these people go out to make sure that the elderly and the disabled have food. Their funds have been cut by the government. And so after the first week of November, there will be no food for those people who are basically homebound. And I was thinking about this, the idea of hunger, the idea of famines in a place where climate and other things have just destroyed the land and destroyed the ways of farming, or where there's been a history of this over and again. And so it seems to me that the novel covers so many different things to think about. Perhaps that, again, as any great work of literature does, that teaches us not only about another place or, another place in time in the near future, but also helps us understand ourselves right now. Over and again with this novel, I am seeing this idea. Also, the relationship from grandfather to daughter to granddaughter. I mean, I just think there's such a richness in that part of the book too. I don't know how you did it. The lyrical writing, the gorgeous writing, the description of Mishti, the flower, the for cauliflower. I mean, so dear. And every page, there are so many things that take the breath right out of my body that I'm highlighting and saying, how this turn of phrase or this description. It's
Thank you.
really quite something. And I would be remiss, Mega, to be able to have the honor and the privilege of talking to you today and not mention that Oprah Winfrey has chosen A Guardian and a Thief as the October book club book?
Yes. It still feels completely surreal. Just listening to you say that feels completely astonishing still. And I feel very grateful and very energized that this book has received this honor, and hopefully it will come to the attention of more readers.
I know she has that ability to reach a very wide audience, and that there are things to talk about here about migration, about borders, about social inequality, about so many things, about a family's love, about the beauty of a place like Kolkata that is there to be found, to be seen, to be understood. And I feel like that the book has so much for readers, and I just I am in awe myself for you of this opportunity with Oprah Winfrey, that the book will reach more people, like more people can understand the very important, profound, and critically important things that this book, A Guardian and a Thief, carries for them, don't you think?
That is so generous of you. I am really thankful. And yes, I hope so. I think, I was completely astonished by the care and attention with which Oprah spoke about the book when we had a chance to speak about it. And I hope that her reading of the book and her lifting up of the book means that many more people get to be invited into the book and get to think, if they want, about the questions of the book, which I think are questions that we all consider in our lives. You know, the beautiful thing about fiction is that we can put great pressure on characters, and through that pressure and through those extreme situations, we can think about how we would act in a time of crisis. But they are just more extreme versions of the questions that we all live with every day. You know, what is the right thing to do? Who do we support? What kind of ethical principles do we stand by? What are we willing to do, and what are we completely unwilling to do? What are we proud of? What are we not proud of? So I think in our lives as neighbors, residents, friends, consumers, we consider these questions all the time. And in fiction, we can really push these questions into a much more dramatic and urgent place.
Well, you certainly have done that with A Guardian and a Thief. Megha Majumdar, thank you so much for talking to me today. I'm so thrilled and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so much, Yvette. It's a real joy to come back and talk to you 5 years after a burning for this new book. Thank you for having me.
Megha Majumdar is the author of the novel, A Guardian and a Thief. This has been Book Public from Texas Public Radio. Jacob Rosati composed our theme music. Dan Katz is Texas Public Radio's news director. I'm Yvette Benavides.